Chapter 5. Two Different Kinds of Men. Many people in Parliament and Britain had hoped that Lord Halifax would become Prime Minister. And when Halifax said he did not want the job, they were very surprised. An American friend wrote in his diary, "I don't understand why, since a more ambitious man never lived." Halifax and Winston were two different kinds of men, both in how they looked and in their ideas. Halifax was very tall with pale skin, and he had no left hand. He was also very good at horse riding. He was born on 16th of April 1881 in Devon, into a rich family who were deeply religious. Halifax was his parents' fourth son, but sadly, his three older brothers had all died by the time he was 10. Like the sons of many rich parents, he was sent away to school at Eton College and later went to the University of Oxford. After Halifax left university, he decided to enter politics in 1909 as a Conservative MP. He owned land and houses in Yorkshire and London, and later the same year, he married Lady Dorothy Onslow, a very kind woman. In 1910, Halifax became the MP for Ripon in North Yorkshire. When the First World War started, he joined the regiment of the Queen's Own Yorkshire Dragoons and went to fight in Flanders. The fighting there was terrible, and many of his friends died. For the rest of his life, Halifax never forgot the awful things he saw in battle, and this was a strong reason why he was always against war. Winston's political relationship with Halifax did not begin well. In 1921, Winston was Minister for the Colonies, and it was suggested that Halifax could work with him. But Winston was not happy about working with Halifax, and for 2 weeks he refused to meet him. Halifax was angry about the way Winston was behaving and went to his office to argue with him. After this bad start, the two men worked together for some years, but they had different opinions about many important subjects. One of these was India. At that time, India was ruled by Britain, but many Indians wanted independence from Britain, and there had been some violent fighting. In 1926, Halifax was made responsible for the government of India and went there for 5 years. Halifax strongly supported the idea of Indian independence and had a good relationship with the Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi. Other important members of the Conservative Party, including Winston, were against Indian independence and thought that Halifax was too weak about India. On 31st of March 1931, Halifax made an agreement with Gandhi, and Winston was very angry about this. Later that year, Halifax returned to England and made his first speech in the House of Lords. In 1935, Stanley Baldwin appointed him Minister of War, and 5 months later, he was given two more important government positions. By this time, Hitler had been Chancellor in Germany for 2 years and was slowly building up the German army, navy, and air force. Anthony Eden, the new British Foreign Secretary, felt very worried about this. But other people in Britain, including Halifax, did not think there was anything to worry about. The Allies had defeated Germany in the First World War, and they thought it would take a long time before it became a strong country again. However, Germany was beginning to show that it was not as weak as some people thought. After the First World War, Germany and the Allies had signed two important peace treaties, the Treaty of Versailles and the Treaty of Locarno. In the Treaty of Locarno, Germany promised never to go to war again with other countries. It also promised that German troops would never enter the Rhineland, the area of Germany around the River Rhine, close to the border with France, Belgium, Holland and Luxembourg. But in 1936, Hitler broke these promises and sent German tanks into the Rhineland. Many people in Britain were not very worried about the Rhineland. They thought invading the Rhineland was not the same as invading a foreign country, so the British government did nothing to stop Hitler. When he realised that the Allies were not going to punish him for breaking the peace treaties, Hitler started planning to take back some of the lands Germany had lost after the First World War. After Neville Chamberlain became Prime Minister of Britain in 1937, he wanted to avoid a Second World War, so he tried to make a peace agreement between Hitler and the British government. In November 1937, Halifax went on holiday to Germany, and afterwards, Hitler invited him to his house in the Bavarian Alps. Anthony Eden, the Foreign Secretary, did not want Halifax to meet Hitler. He knew that Halifax supported the idea of a peace agreement, and he did not want him to discuss this with Hitler. However, Halifax had a very good relationship with Chamberlain, and Chamberlain encouraged him to go and meet Hitler. When Halifax returned to Britain, Eden was shocked and angry because Halifax had discussed some things with Hitler that Eden had warned him not to talk about. Halifax spoke warmly about Hitler and said that people in Britain were worried only because they did not know about the wonderful changes he had made in Germany. Halifax reported to the cabinet that the Germans were not interested in war because they were too busy building up their country. 2 months later, in January 1938, Chamberlain formally announced his policy of making a peace agreement with Hitler. The British government started to consider ways that some of the lands that Germany had lost after the First World War could be returned to Hitler. Many people, including Anthony Eden, were not happy about this. But in February 1938, after Eden resigned, Chamberlain offered the job of Foreign Secretary to Halifax. Just over 2 weeks later, German troops marched into Vienna because Hitler had decided to attach Austria to Germany. Although Halifax had known this was going to happen, he had done nothing to stop it until it was too late. Next, Hitler started thinking about the Sudetenland, the area of Czechoslovakia where German-speaking people lived. Everybody wondered what Halifax would do if Hitler decided to attach the Sudetenland to Germany as well. By the summer of 1938, thousands of German troops had arrived on the border with Czechoslovakia. Chamberlain became worried and asked Hitler for a meeting to discuss the situation. At the meeting, which happened in Munich in September 1938, Chamberlain believed all Hitler's promises. As he stepped off the plane back in Britain, he waved a peace agreement that Hitler had signed. Part of the agreement was that Hitler would be given the Sudetenland, and on 1st of October 1938, German troops entered the Sudetenland peacefully. Halifax seemed to keep changing his opinion about Hitler. On 12th of October 1938, he invited Joseph Kennedy, the American ambassador to Britain, to tea at his house. Later, Kennedy reported to Washington, "I spent an hour and a half with Halifax this afternoon drinking tea. Halifax does not believe that Hitler wants to have a war with Great Britain." Halifax told Kennedy that he thought Britain should build up its air force and France should do the same, and then Hitler could be allowed to do what he likes in Central Europe. However, on 9th and 10th of November 1938, some terrible things happened in Germany during Kristallnacht, also known as the Night of Broken Glass. Jewish shops, businesses and other buildings were destroyed all over the country, and many Jewish people were killed or hurt. People in Britain and other countries were extremely shocked, and Halifax realised that Hitler and the Nazis were doing terrible things. He said that there could never be peace until the Nazis were destroyed. Meanwhile, Chamberlain was becoming old and tired, and he was beginning to make some serious mistakes. Without telling Halifax, he announced to the newspapers that the situation with Germany was much better than it had been for some time. But less than a week later, German tanks entered Prague, and Hitler invaded the rest of Czechoslovakia. Poland was now in danger, and Halifax promised Poland that, if Germany attacked, Britain would protect them. So, when Hitler invaded Poland on 1st of September 1939, Britain declared war on Germany. Winston and Halifax were two different kinds of men, and there were many subjects, like India, that they could not agree about. Both of them loved Britain deeply and wanted to protect it, but their ideas about how to do this were very different. Winston believed that the best policy was to meet threats and dangers face to face. Halifax believed that the best policy was to leave other countries alone. Both of them believed that their way was the only right way for Britain. On 10th of May 1940, the day that he became Prime Minister, Winston did not go to bed until 3 a.m. As soon as he woke the next morning, he sent another letter to Neville Chamberlain, asking him and Halifax to meet with him in the war room in the Admiralty at 12:30 p.m. so they could look at maps of Europe together and discuss what to do. Chamberlain agreed, adding that, until Winston had appointed his war cabinet, he, Halifax and Winston would have to be responsible for running the war. However, Winston had a problem. He needed the Labour MPs, Clement Attlee and Arthur Greenwood, to be in his war cabinet. Attlee and Greenwood not only had refused to be part of a government led by Chamberlain, but now they were saying they did not want Chamberlain to be in the war cabinet. So that morning, after he had written to Chamberlain and Halifax, Winston met with Attlee and Greenwood and succeeded in persuading them to work with Chamberlain. Winston went to his first meeting of ministers at 12:30 p.m. that day, when he met with Chamberlain, Halifax and six of the top men in the Army, Navy and Air Force. They discussed a number of important subjects about the war and made decisions about what Britain was going to do. After the meeting finished, they agreed to meet again at 10 p.m. Winston had only just become Prime Minister, but already he was having problems with some of his own party. Everybody had different opinions about who should be in the new war cabinet. General Ironside believed it was very important to include the two Labour MPs, but Halifax and Chamberlain were against this idea. Also, not everybody was confident about Winston's way of running things. That afternoon, Halifax and his wife were walking through the gardens of Buckingham Palace on their way to the Admiralty when they met the King and Queen. The King told Halifax he had hoped Halifax would be Prime Minister and seemed very worried about Winston. The new war cabinet was announced on the 9 o'clock news that evening. The second meeting of ministers was pushed back from 10 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. and did not finish until after midnight. Halifax was very unhappy about the late meeting and wrote in his diary, "This nightlife is no good to me." But this was Winston's way of doing things. For him, the best time to have meetings was late at night, and that was not going to change. This was how he was going to run the war. Things were not easy for Winston. He was working very hard, with very little sleep. But he did not get much thanks from his colleagues for his hard work, and instead, some of them complained about him.